Okay, Parshas Chukas has in it one of the, I refrain from using the word famous events, although one might define it that way, certainly enigmatic events, a seminal moment in Moshe's personal life, and that is the incident of the drawing water from the rock. This incident, which of course gets its significance from the fact that because of what went wrong during the course of this incident, Moshe and Aharon are held back from entering into Eretz Yisrael, the land that Moshe himself desired more than anything else and has over and over been saying to the people, this is where we're going, this is where we're heading, this is the goal, and Moshe is unable to go because of this. So aside from its significance in terms of whatever it is that went wrong, it has to have gone really wrong that it would result in such a decree against Moshe. The difficulty of the story is that the Torah itself, the text of the Chumash as it relates the story to us, is very ambiguous as to what it was that went wrong. There is no clear statement of, this is what I wanted you to do, and this is what went wrong, and therefore you're being punished. The Torah does discuss it in two different places, and it's simply not clear, evidenced by the fact that there are many, many, many different opinions in the Rishonim amongst the commentators exactly what it was that happened. So what I'd like to do this afternoon is actually read through the text. It's pretty short. On our own, come up with all the clues or oddities of the story as it is said to see where things are, and then we'll see from within the text itself where the approaches are coming from. Meaning to say, very often you may have heard over the course of this talk or that talk, someone will say what the different opinions are as to what he did wrong, but let's find it inside. Where in the text do we have the clues for the different approaches, and we'll see where some of the approaches disagree with others because of the actual words of the story as it's related to us. So let's embark on this adventure. We'll see if it works. It might be a little bit textual or technical. I think it should work okay, and we'll give it a shot. So it's on page 842. Beginning of the 20th chapter. Now you'll see on the right hand side of your page in the original Hebrew, there are two paragraphs here. And if you actually flip the page, there's actually a third paragraph. So the way the story is broken up is Psukim Aleph through Vav, 1 through 6 is the people's actual complaint. We're going to read about in those verses the death of Miriam. Upon Miriam's death, the very next verse after the death of Miriam, which is in the very first pasuk of the 20th chapter, the beginning of pasuk Bey, the beginning of the second pasuk says, "V'lo hoya mayim lo eda." There was no water for the people. And Rashi makes the connection based on the sages. Why does the Torah link Miriam's death in the very next phrase is that there was no water for the people, to connect that it was in Miriam's merit, it was in her zuchus, that the people had water in the desert all of these years, and now upon her death, there's no water, and the people gather against Moshe and Aharon. Pasuk Gimel, verse 3, Vayorev ha'am Moshe, and they fought, they quarreled with Moshe, and they said, it would have been better for us to have died, like our brethren have died before us. Why did you bring us here to die? There's no water. And again, the same refrain that we've seen over and over and over again. Why did you take us out from Mitzrayim to bring us to this evil, wicked place? It's not a place of seed, it's not a place of fig, grape, or pomegranate, there's no water to drink. That refrain is the common complaint. Why did you take us out of Mitzrayim to bring us here? They level this complaint again. Not only do they say you haven't taken us to land with all of these things, but now we don't even have water to drink where we are. Moshe and Aharon fall on their faces, and again Hashem's presence reveals itself. There's a pattern here in terms of the way that their complaints are run. This is similar to what goes on. But that's the first paragraph of the story. So the text begins, Psukim Aleph through Vav, 1 through 6 tells us, sets the context. Miriam dies, no water, people complain, Moshe and Aharon fall on their faces, and Hashem's presence appears before them. Then the second paragraph, beginning in verse 7 through 11, is going to be Hashem's instructions to Moshe, what to do to remedy the problem. There's a problem in front of us. What's the problem? There's no water. Now, the people address the problem in a very specific way. They don't say, hey Moshe, it's 101 degrees here in the desert and we don't have anything to drink. They come with anger and complaints, and they quarrel, and they say, okay, why did you take us out of Mitzrayim? It would have been better for us to have died like all of our brethren who were struck down by Hashem. Which Rashi parenthetically mentions, that you see from their phrase that it would have been better for us to have died like our brethren, that there's no death worse than starvation, death by lack of water. That's just the worst possible type of death. And they say, we'd rather have died by this heavenly fire, or by the earth opening up and swallowing us whole, or anything but this. This is horrible. So that's how they lodge their complaint. It's not just information. Miriam died, now we don't have her merit, we need water. It's a complaint. And then we have the response, verses 7 through 11, Hashem's response to Moshe. This is what you need to do to remedy the problem. Included in that, clearly, is something that Moshe does wrong. And then verses 12 and 13 are going to be the response to Moshe, because you messed up. So that's the structure, just as far as we go through it. So it's relatively short. It's a four-verse instruction from Hashem to Moshe. Somewhere within those four verses in which he's instructed and carries it out, in all of those four verses, something goes horribly wrong. And then we have the two-verse response in which Hashem says, because you have, and we'll see exactly what his words are, because of that, now you're not going to be able to go into Eretz Yisrael. We will take a peek as well, briefly, at the end of the Chumash in Parshas Vezos HaBracha. Moshe again records this incident and uses a little different phraseology, and we will take a look at that as well, because it's going to be very critical as far as, excuse me, some Parshas Hazinu, in terms of how the commentators understand the incident as it took place over here. Alright, let me put my little marker there. That's on page 1110. Just want to get ourselves all ready. Okay. Fine. Let's get started, yeah? Okay, here we go. So let's go through those four verses, 7 through, I count 7 even though it's only just by Debesh and Moshe, the four verses, 8, 9, 10, and 11, and let's pick up on all of the clues from the text as to what's going to guide us as to what happened and what went wrong. Here we go. Zayin, 7. Vayidaver Hashem al Moshe le'emosh. Hashem speaks to Moshe, saying, and again, the scene as it's been set, all the people have come to quarrel, all the people have come to complain about the lack of water, Hashem's presence has appeared, and Hashem then says the following to Moshe, Kach es hamateh, take the staff, ve'hakel es ha'edo atovia haron achicho, and then gather all of the people together, you and Aharon, your brother, V'dibartem el hasela le'enehem, speak to the rock before their eyes, v'nosan meimov, and it shall give of its waters, v'hotzeisa lohem mayim min hasela, and you shall bring forth for them water from the rock, v'hishkisa sa'edo v'es bi'iram, and you shall give drink to the assembly and to their animals. A long verse. So let's break it down. What are all the different components of this pasuk that we would take note of? Again, we're not looking for all the clues altogether, but just one piece at a time. What do we see of notes in this verse? Let's break it down phrase by phrase. Yeah. What's the first phrase we have?
Take the staff.
Take the staff. What's the relevance that Hashem, when he tells Moshe what he's about to do, the first thing that he says to him is, take the staff. What's significant about that?
Well, he usually has a staff with him. He's performing all of them.
Excellent, right? So in other words, what would be the meaning of taking the staff? What should he be thinking when he's told?
He's going to have to use it for something.
Right? Mm-hmm. Right? The most likely concept, if he's told specifically, take the staff. It's not just a matter of you happen to have it in your hand. There's a command. Shem says to Moshe, take the staff. So it would certainly be reasonable for Moshe to be thinking that there's going to be some reason why I need to have the staff in my hand, right? That's reasonable. Now, what is he supposed to do with that staff?
I don't know.
All right, that we don't know. But he is instructed to take it. Okay, what's next in the phrase?
Gather everybody.
Okay. So not only is he told to take the staff, there's this, what is going to take place, must be done after the people are gathered. Now that's significant. There are various ways that Hashem could provide water for the people. Could have been a way in which everybody stays at their tents and Moshe brings water from a rock and then they create an irrigation system and it flows to everybody's tents. But what's done here is specifically take your staff and then gather all the people together. Good. Next.
Speak to the rock.
Okay, it says, see, we got to deal with that. It's going to say, it says, speak v'dibartem el hasela.
But first it says, Aharon should be with Moshe.
Excellent. Okay, we skipped over that phrase. That's a good point. So he's taking the staff, he has to gather all the people, and he has to be together with his brother Aharon. And then, what does he do? What happens next? So we said that already? He speaks to the rock. Now, for those of you sneaking peeks on the English side, you will not be able to answer the following question. Who is supposed to speak to the rock? Excellent. If you're reading it in English, you cannot answer that question. Because in English, there's no distinction between the singular and the plural word, speak. But in Hebrew, when Hashem actually spoke these words, he says, take your staff, gather the people, take your brother Aharon, and speak to the rock. Now, when he says the word speak, is it singular or plural?
Plural.
It's plural. So who should be speaking to this rock? Moshe and Aharon together should be speaking to the rock. Now, what else? Who? And there's another phrase which seems to be additional as far as that goes. And what? Speak to the rock before their eyes. What does that mean?
They need to see it.
Who needs to see it?
All the people that are gathered.
The people that have been gathered. So again, this is like almost stressing what we said before. Not only is this going to be some type of miraculous event which will take place, you need to gather everyone. And then when you and Aharon speak to the rock, it needs to be le'enehem. It needs to be in front of their eyes so that everybody is seeing what is going on. So far, so good? V'nasan meimav, and it will give of its waters. Anything of note there?
Well, usually rocks don't have water.
Good, right? Rocks don't have waters to give. I was hoping somebody would notice that. Now, the Torah doesn't say that it will happen in some miraculous event that it will give water. It says it will give of its waters. That's a funny phrase. Because, as Dina has very astutely pointed out, most rocks don't have enough water to feed 3 million people. I mean, that's like a lot of water coming from a rock, however big this rock is going to be. So it's of note. Now, we're not going to address every single question, by the way, but I just want to point out what's going on in the text, where the commentators are coming from. Some of the comments are more midrashic, but you should know where they're coming from, which fits in with a lot of what's going on. So this is an interesting note that was not lost on the commentators, that the way that the story is being told that it will happen is that the rock will give of its waters, as if to say, it already has the waters, you just need to get the rock to give of its waters. But we're not like creating something new that hasn't been done before, or that didn't already exist. There is water in a rock, and we just need to somehow give or get the rock to give of its waters. That's the implication of the phrase. Yeah.
Was this the same rock referred to that had been giving the water?
Okay. Excellent. Now, I'm going to not answer that question now, but I will say that you're right on that there's some, it seems from the way the pasuk says it, that this is the middle of a story. There is already a rock in existence which has given in the past or has been giving water, and it has now stopped, or we don't know where it is or what's going on, and we need Moshe to be able to get the rock to give of its waters. But the implication of the pasuk is not that we're going to create something new out of nothing, but that the rock will give of its waters. Yeah?
What is the word used for rock in this instance?
Sela. Okay, so far so good. Next phrase. The Hotseisa lahem mayim min hasela. You shall bring forth for them water from the rock. V'hishkisa seidav es bi'iram. And give drink to the assembly and to their animals. Anything of note in this phrase?
I was thinking I might be remembering wrong. I thought we were told once before that you first take care of your animals before yourself. Do I have that all mixed up?
No, that's correct. That's very good. Yeah, that comes from...
In the Shema, there's a paragraph.
In the Shema, there's a phrase by... I'm totally blanking.
Rivka said that, yeah.
You are totally correct. That is, it comes from somewhere where first you take care of your other stuff and then you take care of yourself. In different ways, it's said different times. That's clearly not the way that it's done over here. Here, in fact, Rashi makes the point that you see from this phrase how Hashem has pity, so to speak, or takes care about even the monetary possessions of the Jewish people, that he doesn't want to just feed the people and have the animals go to waste, but that he will provide through this miraculous event that the animals as well, their monetary possessions should also be taken care of. That's an interesting point. But there's something else more basic to our story that we're focused on in this phrase.
You shall bring forth.
Okay, that's an excellent point. You shall bring forth, meaning who's Hashem speaking to?
Moshe.
Speaking to Moshe, who's going to speak to Aaron, that they're together going to do this. There's one thing odd about this phrase that you're all missing because it's so obvious. Read the whole pasuk as in one unit.
Starting with Kaf.
Take the staff, speak to the rock, and it shall give its waters. You shall bring forth for them water from the rock and give drink.
Well, if it gives its waters, then what are you?
Excellent. The whole thing is repetitive and unnecessary. The phrase begins, Moshe is being spoken to by Hashem. He says, take Aaron, your brother, take your staff. You're going to speak to the rock, and it shall give its waters. So if we stop the pasuk right there, what's happening?
The rock's
giving forth its waters. That's what you're told to do. Speak to the rock that it shall give forth its water. And then he continues, and he says, and you shall bring forth for them water from the rock and give drink to the assembly. It seems like almost the whole phrase is unnecessary. It already said, speak to the rock and it will give forth its waters. And then we say again, and you shall take forth water from the rock. So we're going to have to deal with the repetition as well as the fact that it's the phraseology of the pasuk switches from a very passive to an active tense. You shall speak to the rock and it shall give forth its waters turns into you shall take the waters out. Okay, that's it. This is the entire command. Whatever it is that we're going to see Moshe does wrong, it's got to be somewhere in this pasuk. Because this is the only pasuk in which Hashem tells Moshe what to do. So we ourselves have uncovered quite a few clues in this pasuk, which all could lead to an answer. We have so far the idea, if we had to summarize based on our simple reading of the pasuk right now, what has Moshe been told to do?
Hit the rock.
Hit the rock?
Speak
to the rock.
Speak to the rock. Now, v'dibartem el hasela. So we're going to have to deal with this, but the simple reading would certainly yield that, v'dibartem el hasela. But if we summarize the entirety of the commandment, what has Moshe been told to do? It's in our own words.
Get water out of the rock.
Right? And through what means?
Speak to
while doing what?
While speaking.
No, while holding
the staff.
The staff. Right? Because the first thing that Hashem said was, Kach asamateh, take the staff. So the simple reading would yield, go get Aaron, take your staff, and then together speak to the rock, and it will bring forth its waters, and then you shall bring forth waters, that repetitive phrase, and you'll give everyone to drink. That would be what we have so far just from the simple reading of the pasuk. So far, so good?
Yeah, and also, Aaron's only included in this whole picture just in speaking. Even afterwards, it goes back to singular. It's all...
Excellent. So, right? But he's right. He's been told to come, and he's been told to be part of the speaking aspect. That's right. It's a very good point. All right, let's move on. Vayikach Moshe es hamatami lifnei Hashem. Moshe took the staff from before Hashem, ka'asher tzivohu, as he had been commanded. What's of note in this pasuk?
As he had commanded him.
Okay, thank you. As he had commanded him, right? Because in other words, Aaron didn't receive the command. It was Moshe who had received the command. So we have a whole pasuk here that tells us what?
You took the staff.
I have an entire pasuk in the Chumash, and if I ask you, what is this pasuk in the Chumash teaching me? What's it saying? Moshe took the staff as he had been commanded to. Now, had we not had this pasuk, would I have doubted that he took the staff? Was that a significant enough part of the story that if it was left out of the action part, that I would have assumed he did it? I now have an entire pasuk telling me that he did. Now, there's an odd phrase in this pasuk. What's the odd phrase?
It's from before Hashem.
Excellent. Where did he take the staff from? From before Hashem. What do you mean? He took the staff from before Hashem. So Ibn Ezra writes that the staff was kept in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It was kept in the Holy of Holies, and Moshe had to go get this special staff in order to fulfill this command and go do what he needed to do.
So he didn't have it with him all the time?
It wasn't he had it. It was kept in a special place.
Huh.
And he had to go. Now, the Torah thinks it's important enough for us to be aware of this, that it gives us an entire pasuk that Moshe went and got the staff. Now, in our story, the way that our simple reading of the pasuk, how is Moshe going to draw water out? Through speaking to the rock. That's what the pasuk seems to have implied. He just needed to be holding the staff. But the Torah holds it's really important enough to tell us that he went and he did it. He went and he grabbed the staff as he had been commanded to. Okay, ready? Next, third pasuk. Vayakilu Moshe va'Aaron es hakal el penei hasola. Moshe and Aaron gathered the congregation before the rock. So far, so good. That makes sense? That fits, right? That's what they were told to do. They were told to take the staff and to gather everybody. So far, he's done in the exact order that he's been told to do. He went and he grabbed the staff. And then he and Aaron gather everybody together. Vayomer lem, and he says to them, Shimu no hamorim, hamin hasela hazeh notzi lochem moyim. And he said to them, listen now, O rebels, shall we bring forth water for you from this rock?
So he spoke to the rock.
Did he?
Uh-uh. He spoke to the people.
He spoke to the people about the rock.
So he like was frustrated with
that. Now, that's a very important phrase because we're going to get back to that. What you just said is very important. What he did is he spoke to the people about the rock.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he did. Now, what else did he do? How does he speak to the people?
He asks a question.
He asks a question. First, he puts them down. Let's go in order, right? He says, Shimu na hamorim. Listen up, O rebels. He refers to them as morim, as rebels, those who have rebelled. Now, why is he referring to them as that?
Complaints.
Right? From their complaints of verses 1 through 6, which we just sort of skimmed through, but that's what they did. They didn't have water, and they didn't come nicely and say, Moshe, we're really thirsty. There's no more water. Miriam died, and there's no water left. They came with complaints. Why did you take us out of Egypt? It would have been better to be slaves. You didn't bring us to the land, and now there's no water to drink. So Moshe says, listen up, you rebels. And then he has this question, Hamin hasela hazeh notzi lochem mayim? Shall we bring forth for you from this rock? That's a very difficult phrase to understand what Moshe wanted with that phrase. On a simple meaning, what would we suggest? What if you were the people, and here's Moshe, and so there's a big show going on. Everyone, you go complain, the water, we're dying of thirst, it's so hot, there's no water, and all of a sudden you hear this big call, and Moshe's gathering everybody together. Everybody gathers. All the people are in front of this rock. And Moshe's got that staff, and like, oh, he has the staff. Like, something's great going to come. And he says, shall we bring forth water from this rock? What's your reaction as the people? Are you asking us, shouldn't you? What does Moshe want with this question?
Well, rocks don't give water.
Now, did the people think that water was coming from a rock? Was that what they were expecting, that their water was going to come miraculously from a rock? Now, it did happen once before, 40 years ago, right, when they left Egypt. This is the second incident in the Chumash in which Moshe brings out water from a rock. The first one, he was told to hit the rock. He does hit the rock, and water comes out. So they have seen that before. That was almost 40 years before, but that is what happens. And Moshe gets up there and he says, shall we bring forth water from this rock?
Okay. Almost. Teasing,
but
don't you think?
Yeah. Like he's frustrated, and he's like,
You certainly hear that. So let's read well the last pasuk. Vayorem Moshe es yodo. Moshe raised his arm. Vayach es hasela b'matehu po'amayim. and he struck the rock with his staff twice. Vayetsu mayim rabim vatesh to'eda uviram. Abundant water came forth, and the assembly and their animals drank. Alright, that's it. That's the whole story. So what do we see in this last pasuk? What's the biggest point that's of note?
Struck the rock twice.
Okay, yeah. Twice. Right, he struck it. In other words, we have not been told until this point that he was supposed to do that. We had the phrase only v'dibartam el hasala. He was supposed to speak to the rock. He was told to take his staff, and the Torah went out of its way to tell us in its own pasuk that he went ahead and he did take the staff with him. And now he speaks to the people. He speaks seemingly in a harsh way. Listen up, you rebels. Shall we bring forth water from this rock? Then he raises his hands and he strikes the rock twice. Now that twice is certainly of note as well. Why did he have to strike it twice? Torah doesn't say very much about that, just that he struck it twice, and it worked. Abundant water came forth, and the assembly and their animals drank. Now, if we didn't know that this was the event which would cause Moshe not to get into Eretz Yisrael, and we stopped here, and we tried to assess what happened, I don't know on a scale of 1 to 10 how bad we would say it was. I mean, if we look through it, we say, oh, look, he struck it. Maybe we think it went so bad. Maybe he was supposed to hit it. It's back to Melisela. I don't know. I don't know how bad we would have rated it on our own in terms of, if even at this point, as we're going to see, Rashi's going to give us the simplest explanation of what he did wrong, which we're most familiar with based on the reading that we had so far. But we're going to see a couple of different other ways to read the story, which is going to yield an entirely different story. But this is all that we have. This is the story. Let's read the next two verses and we're going to go back. What's Hashem's response to this incident? Vayomer Hashem el Moshe ve'el Aharon. Now, Aharon. What has Aharon done so far?
Mm-hmm. Showed up.
As we know, he's just stood there.
What was he supposed to do?
Speak to the rabbi.
Did he?
Speak in unison with Moses?
We weren't told that he did.
Right? If you go back to Pasuk Yud, verse 10, where Moshe and Aharon gather the people. Now again, in the English, you will not be able to answer this question, but in the Hebrew, who is the one doing the talking? Is it a singular talking, or is it a plural talking?
Singular.
Vayomer lohem, and he said to them. No, you actually do see that in the English. He said, so it's who's talking? It seems like it's only Moshe. And Moshe says, listen up, from this rock will we bring forth water. But he's the one doing the talking. Now Aaron is there. He doesn't strike the rock. That's also singular. It seems to be that Moshe is doing that himself. Aaron was told to be there. He was included in the command to speak to the rock, which we don't see here. And now Hashem opens up and he addresses both of them. He addresses both Moshe and Aharon. And he says to them, Ya'an lo ha'emantem bi lahakdisheni. Because you did not believe in me to sanctify me, Le'enei b'nei Yisrael, in the eyes of the Jewish people, lochein lo saviu es hakahal hazeh el ha'aretz asher nasati lahem. Therefore you will not bring them to the land that I have promised them. These are the waters of strife where the children of Israel contended with Hashem, and he was sanctified through them. Very difficult to understand. Last, you didn't believe in me? Is there any indication in the story that we read in the four verses of what Hashem told Moshe to do versus what he did, that there was an indication that Moshe does not believe in Hashem? Hard to find that. Where do we see they didn't believe in Hashem? I mean, we have incidents where Hashem promises Avram children, and Avram says, how will I know that it will happen? Alright, so if Chazal say there that Avram had lacked in Emunah, we see it. He asked, how do I know? When Moshe questions Hashem on his first trip back to Mitzrayim, and he says to Hashem, since you've sent me back here, it's only gotten worse, why do you do this? We could say, alright, we see a lack in belief from Hashem, you don't see the big picture. What took place here that we would say, oh, I know what the problem is. The problem is that you didn't believe in me.
Well, because he doubted the Jewish people, so that's why.
That's the territory. So that he doubted the Jewish people, so he doesn't believe in Hashem because he doubts the Jewish people.
The future of the Jewish people.
I don't know. Yeah.
I think because he
took actions against what he was instructed to do. The staff itself represents his leadership, you know, right from the beginning. The staff is his mark of leadership as a servant of Hashem, as carrying forward with Pharaoh in every action, that he is there to represent and to Mekadesh Hashem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So here he takes, he diminishes his own leadership by taking action on his own.
So is it, so that's a lack of belief?
Lack of letting go of his mission. What his mission is to be Mekadesh Hashem.
Is that a lack of belief in Hashem? In other words, we're going to have to deal with a phrase that says, you didn't believe in me. Mm-hmm. You're saying something that he did wrong, but it's hard to fit that into the words of what Hashem says of, you didn't believe in me.
Well, that God can bring, that God can make the rock bring forth water by speaking to it rather than by hitting it.
Excellent. I have a question. Does it show any less of a miraculous event that water to give drink to 3 million people poured out of a rock because it was hit, is that less of a miracle than if the water would have poured out because it was spoken to?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so please enlighten me, because I can walk around my house hitting rocks all day long and ain't no water coming out of them.
Have you tried?
No. But it feels more that there's something about the frustration that he felt. You know, we saw with Korach, he had this thing about envy. Mm-hmm. And that turned into a doubt of Hashem. And possibly something about his feelings of frustration somehow is also a doubting of, even though it's him, it's a doubting of Hashem in some way that I'm not connecting.
Okay. Okay, I'm running out of time. I had like three approaches that I wanted to do, and I wanted to go through all of them in the text, and there's no way. So let's at least try to get.
Can I ask you a quick question? Did he speak
yes.
to the rock? How do we know that he first tried to speak to the rock?
I asked you. I didn't see it. It's not in my text. Is it in yours?
Yes. Just kidding.
Okay.
But seriously, maybe he.
It might be.
Work
all I'm saying is that as we go through the various approaches, we're going to do them quickly.
Okay.
We have to fit him in. On each, there are going to be three totally different approaches: Rashi, the Rambam, and the Ramban. Rashi, Maimonides, and Nachmanides all have various approaches. And I have to comment that the Ramban says, and all of them are really just trying to get at the pshat, but the real truth is Kabbalistic, and he goes into a whole different approach in all three of them. But each one of the three are trying to work in the very few sparse words we have, trying to think, like, one happened. And we'll see that each one is going to take a different thread and reinterpret the other threads, because there's no one clear reading as to what it should be. So Rashi, let's start with Rashi, is the most famous, since he's Rashi. Rashi also is the most famous because the way that we read the text is according to Rashi. As I've mentioned many, many, many times, when phrases can be translated in various ways, the beauty of the original Hebrew of the Chumash is that it's open to various different interpretations. When you write an English translation, then you have to take sides. You simply have to translate in one way versus another. And the way that we read it, the way that Artscroll translates, as we've said many times, they are very clear and upfront about it. They are not writing a literal translation. They are writing a Rashi translation. And as we read, the story was based on a Rashi translation, and that's what results in a very obvious fault in Moshe. The way that we read it, what was the fault of Moshe?
He didn't speak.
Correct. Now, the reason why we come to that conclusion is because we've translated the words the way Rashi has translated the words. Let's read Rashi inside, and then I'll show you exactly what Rashi did to get there, which is really fairly straightforward, but that is where he comes from. Says Rashi, what was the problem? Lahak Dishe, I'm on page 844. I'm on the second column in Rashi, three lines from the top, if you want to read it inside. Lahak Disheni, Hashem says to Moshe, your problem was you did not believe in me to sanctify me in front of the people. So again, all the commentators are going to try to figure out, based on Hashem's response, like, what was the problem? So in Rashi's interpretation, the primary principal issue was, Moshe, through your actions, I did not become sanctified through the people. How did I not become sanctified through the people, says Rashi? She'ilu dibartem el hasela. Had you spoken to the rock, Vahotzi, and taken out the water. Hayisi mikudosh le'enei ha'eda. I would have become sanctified in the eyes of all of the people. How? Ve'omrim, because all of the people would have said the following thing. Ma selo zeh. She'enu medaber. Ve'enu shomeya. This rock, which doesn't speak and doesn't hear, it's an inanimate object. Ve'enu tzorach leparnosa. It doesn't need sustenance. It doesn't need to make a parnosa. It doesn't need anything. It's just a rock. Mekayim diburo shel makom, yet it fulfills the words of Hashem. When Hashem says, through the words of Moshe, give forth water, and it doesn't hear, it doesn't speak, it doesn't need parnasa, it doesn't need sas, it doesn't need anything, yet it listens and adheres to the words of Hashem. Kal v'chomer anu. How much more so we, who do speak, and do hear, and hear the words of Hashem, and we need Hashem for so many things, how much more so should we abide by the laws and the rules and the words of Hashem? That, says Rashi, is the problem. Meaning, if you only would have struck the rock instead of speaking to the rock, and it would not have had any ramification. I told you to do X, and you did a little different variation of X. Instead of talking, you hit it. But there was no, like, nothing happened because of that. Then, all right, no big deal. But, says Hashem, according to Rashi's interpretation, since we lost out on an enormous opportunity of being Mekadesh my name, sanctifying my name, because the people would have otherwise come to the following conclusion, if this rock which can't hear and can't speak and doesn't even need anything listens to the word of Hashem, how much more so the people would have been inspired and said, do we need to listen? And that didn't happen, because you did not speak but instead hit the rock. Therefore, you have failed, and the punishment is you can't enter into Eretz Yisrael. That is how Rashi reads what went wrong. Yeah, that's one of the more. I mean, since it's Rashi, that's what's said. Now, where did Rashi get this from? A, from the obvious way that we read it, which is based on the way that he read it. Vidibartem el hasela was translated as Vidibartem el hasela. You shall speak to the rock. Now, that's not the only way to translate the phrase "vidibartem el hasela." El in that context can mean to; it can also mean about or regarding. Rashi translated as "vidibartem el hasela," speak to the rock. That's how Rashi translates it. So that when Moshe does what? Hits the rock, we have a problem. We have a disconnect between what he was told to do and what he did. Now, why was Moshe told to take the staff according to Rashi? Doesn't comment. But he was told to take the staff. Vidibartem el hasela, speak to the rock. He instead hits the rock. Why is that a lack of the sanctification of my name? So Rashi says, because the people would have otherwise made this lima, they would have made the following derivation, that if the rock listens to the word of Hashem, we should, but you didn't speak to the rock, so they weren't able to learn that lesson, and therefore the lesson was lost. The fact that the people could not grow in their sanctification of God's name, therefore Moshe is punished. That's how Rashi understands this incident. What about the fact that Moshe says, Shimuna Hamorim, listen up you rebels? No comment from Rashi. That's not part of what went wrong. What about the fact that he says, Shall we bring forth water from this rock? Not part of the equation. Where is the mistake according to Rashi? Only in the phrase that Vidibartam El Hasala turned into Vihikisa Mesasala, from speaking to hitting, and he disregards the aspect of the staff. He disregards the way that Moshe speaks to the people. That's not part of the equation as to what he did wrong. When you didn't sanctify me, not sanctifying me meant that you did not allow the people to learn the lesson that was necessary. Okay, so far so good. Guess who doesn't like Rashi's interpretation? That's right. The Ramban does not like Rashi's interpretation. Now, there's a second interpretation in between the Rambam, which I'm running out of time, and I'm trying to figure out whether or not we should spend a minute or two doing it just to, like, get the whole picture or just go straight to the Ramban. But I guess we'll do it, right? Makes sense. Like, once you're here already, you might as well do it. So the Rambam has a different approach. The Rambam's approach is as follows. The principal problem says the Rambam, was in the way Moshe spoke. Shimu no hamorim. When Moshe says, "Listen up, O rebels," that, says the Rambam, is the problem. He was not a litzad haragaznus, that he turned into anger, and Hashem got very angry at him. Adam kemohu koi eis lefnei adas b'nei Yisrael. Such a person, a leader of the Jewish people, got angry in a place she'ein roi bokas, where there is no need for anger. Svechein v'chol kayotze bazeh b'din ha'ish ha'hu chilul Hashem. That, says the Rambam, where was the lack of sanctification? In the chilul Hashem of a person like Moshe getting angry where there is no place for it. Rambam makes a very interesting argument. He says two parts of this argument. Number one, every aspect of the people, the Jewish people's understanding of Hashem, came through Moshe. Like, Moshe was the representation, the embodiment of what it means to be a holy man. And they learned from his every movement, his every word, his every action, what they're supposed to be like. When they saw Moshe getting angry over this, so that tells them, oh, that's an appropriate response. When we come with complaints, and you think that it's a wrong type of complaint, you should get angry. That's like what you do. So that they all got back to their tents, and their kids said, I want more milk in my bottle. And the appropriate response is to get angry. That's what you're supposed to do. Look, that's what Moshe did. Says Rama, what a chilul Hashem, to get angry. Anger is the worst midah, he writes, out of everything. There's no place for anger. Rambam writes, you can fake being angry sometimes, but real anger, there's never, he writes, a place for it. It's just, it's a horrible trait. And that Moshe got angry was a chilul Hashem, and that it taught the people how to respond in an inappropriate way. And furthermore, he writes, the people assumed that if Moshe must be so angry, really Hashem must be angry at us. Because Moshe must simply be reflecting what it is that Hashem is going through right now. And if he's so angry at us, it must be that Hashem is angry at us. And says the Rambam, we don't find any record that Hashem was angry at the people. He just says to Moshe, give the guys water. If they're thirsty, give them water. So that Moshe not only misrepresented what Hashem was doing, because now the people thought that Hashem was really angry, and he wasn't. And he is teaching them an inappropriate response when things don't go well, that you should be angry. And that's the phrase of, you have not sanctified me in front of the people because you have desecrated my name, so to speak, the chilul Hashem of teaching them this response of anger, and you've misrepresented me. That's the phrase of the, which we're really, this discussion needs much more than an hour. Mm-hmm. But the phrase on page 1110 of Asher Ma'altem Bi, that you have in verse 51, you have trespassed against me. The Rambam learns, what do you mean you trespassed against me? That you've trespassed against me and that you've misrepresented what I am. Because in the people's eyes, they think that I'm angry when in fact it's not true. So you've misrepresented me, ma'altem bi, and you have not sanctified me because they think that this is an appropriate response, and therefore the issue is simply his way of speaking to the people. What does the Rambam do with hitting the rock versus speaking to the rock? That's not the problem. Not the problem. The problem was simply in the way that he responded to the people, not in his actions. The Ramban has a long discussion in which he disagrees with both Rashi and the Rambam. In brief, he doesn't like Rashi. He says, according to Rashi, where was the lack of sanctification because you spoke instead of hitting the rock? So Rashi says, Ramban asks, I don't understand that. If Moshe would have hit the rock and water comes pouring out, you wouldn't make the same lesson and say, wow, here is this rock giving forth water because Hashem wants it to. How much more so do we need? What difference does it make? What's the difference in the level of miracle, whether or not the rock is spoken to or it's hit? He doesn't like it. Plus, he says, how can you disregard that he's told to take the staff? Says Ramban, you can't ignore that part of the story. He was told to take the staff. The Torah goes out of its way to give us a full pasuk that says, and he did take the staff. So he doesn't like that. He disagrees with the Rambam because he says, there's good reason for Hashem to, like, the Rambam says, we never found that Hashem got angry, and therefore you're misrepresenting him. It's not true. Of course Hashem was angry. Here you have these people complaining over and over and over again, complaining, why did you take us out of Mitzrayim? It'd be better for us to be slaves. For sure he should be angry. He'd have the right to be angry. So he doesn't like the fact that the problem is, and that Moshe's angry. We don't find anywhere that Hashem got angry at Moshe for getting angry. He says, you didn't sanctify me, you didn't believe me, you rebelled against me, but there's never a phrase of, and you yourself got angry. It always has to get back to what, how it affects Hashem, not just that you yourself lost control and got angry. So he doesn't like those approaches as well. I'm going through this quickly to get to the Ramban's approach so that we can at least conclude with a full picture. Says the Ramban, a very interesting idea. Says the Ramban, the closest in pshat that he believes is that which he quotes from the Rabbeinu Chananel. And the Rabbeinu Chananel, another one of the early Rishonim, learns that the phrase v'dibartem el hasela actually means, and you shall speak regarding the rock. Which would mean, if you read through the text then, the text would read as follows. Take your staff, take Aharon, gather all the people, and speak to them about the rock. What are you going to be speaking about the rock?
That it will bring water.
Good. How do you think it's going to bring out water? When I hit it with my staff like I did 40 years ago. Moshe takes the staff. I'm reading the text now. Moshe takes the staff, gathers all the people, says, listen up, you rebels, will we bring forth water from this rock? Yes, we will. He strikes the rock twice, and water comes out. And then Hashem says, you didn't believe in me. You didn't believe me to sanctify me. You can't go in. Oh, well, now you're talking Kabbalistically. So on a Kabbalistic level, you're right. But we're not there yet.
Okay.
What happened? What went wrong, according to the Ramban's reading, if the Dibartim El Hasela means speak regarding the rock? So that's what she said. In other words, that he cheated twice.
Oh, I didn't hear what she said. I was
fucking... Now, you're all... We're like, delving so deep, we've already... All of us.
Mm-hmm.
Can you really are scratching on the levels of Kabbalah. But before we get there, what went wrong? If the command was, take the staff, speak regarding the rock, means to hit it, and he does, where is the problem? Says the Ramban, based on the Rabbeinu Chananel, the problem is as follows. How does Moshe speak in verse 10? Vayakilu Moshe v'Aharon es ha'kohol al panei, he gathers all the people together. Vayomer lahem, Shimu na hamorim hamin hasela hazeh notzi lochem moyim. What does that mean? Listen now, O rebels, shall we bring forth water from this rock?
Is it possible to? Is it implied? That
who's bringing it forth?
Aaron and Moshe.
Aharon and Moshe. Now remember, there were two variables that we started in the very beginning that we pointed out as just requiring note. Number one was Kachas HaMatzeh, in the beginning of verse 8. Take the staff, and what's the second phrase? V'hakel es ha'edah. Gather the assembly. So that part of the instructions were taking your staff, gather everybody together. And then we have that phrase again, V'dibartem el hasela le'enehem. Speak regarding the rock before their eyes. As Moshe then does in verse 10, Vayakilu Moshe v'Aharon. They gather all the people together. There is a stress. Everybody has to be here and everybody has to see what's happening. What are they supposed to take out of this event?
That the miracle is coming.
They're going to get water.
From where? What's going to be the source of their... I mean, why is Hashem going through this whole process? Why is it relevant? Why is it so important that everybody be there to see Moshe and Aaron speak regarding this rock and then hit this rock? Because we just had a problem. The water stopped. There's no water. Miriam died. Her schus is no longer there. The merit's not there. There's no water for the people. Where is the source of the water going to come from? From Hashem. And what does Moshe say when he gathers them together?
Shall we
bring forth water from this rock? Says the Rabbeinu Chananel, as the Ramban quotes, in the way, the language that he spoke, whereas all miracles, the point and purpose of the miracle was to let know Shashem Yasi Imohim Lahafli, that Hashem is doing these wondrous acts for them, the way that this one was said, Ulai Choshvu Ha'om Ki Moshe Ve'aharon V'chochmoschem Hotziu Lahem Mayim Min Hasela, that it was Moshe and Aaron in their wisdom which brought forth water from the rock. And that's why it says, Lo Kidashtem Osi, you have not sanctified me, because in this sense, it seems as if you've gotten they complained to you, you got frustrated, and you figured out a way to provide water to all of the people. The Ramban brings as a proof. Now, we didn't spend too much time in this that parsha in Hazinu at the end, but the word there was ma'altambi. You literally translated here as trespassed against me. Now, the way the Rambam understood trespass was you misrepresented me, in that you represented my anger when I really wasn't angry. Which the Ramban argues says, no, you should have been angry. The way that he translates ma'altam is in a beautiful way. There's a word me'ila. There's an entire tractate in the Gemara called me'ila. Me'ila is a very specific term. It means using something sacred for mundane purposes. If I dedicate something to the Beis HaMikdash, an animal or any object for that matter, it's now kadosh, it's sanctified. If anyone were to use that for a non-holy purpose, that's referred to as the prohibition of me'ila. You've now used something holy for your own purpose. Says the Ramban, that's why Hashem says, ma'altem bi, because you took my miracle, which was supposed to sanctify my name, and you said it in a way which implied that it was yours. As if you got credit, you got the benefit from that which should have been holy, that which should have been for me, and you got the benefit of it. And because you were ma'altambi, because you did that, therefore this punishment comes. And that's how the Ramban reads through this pasuk, totally changing the Rambam, Rashi, and the Ramban are all picking up on different aspects of the threads of the story as to where the problem was. Whereas Rashi read the word v'dibartim al hasela, speak to the rock, therefore his problem, his main focus was, you were supposed to speak, and instead, you hit. The Rambam says, no, he doesn't have a problem with that. Maimonides says, that you did the right thing by hitting, but when you spoke with anger, you made a mistake, you misrepresented me, and you misrepresented appropriate behavior. It's in the words you said, listen up, you rebels, that's where the problem is. And Ramban says, no, that's also fine. And you weren't even supposed to speak to the rock. I translate the words as speak regarding the rock, and take the staff, because you're supposed to hit it. But the problem is, when you spoke about the rock like you were supposed to do, and you gathered all the people with your staff like you were supposed to do, you said it in a way which implied you were doing this instead of me. And because you didn't believe in me to sanctify me, which the Ramban reads means you didn't cause my name to be believed in, because now instead of me getting all the credit that people should believe in me, they don't have that. Therefore, you're not going to go into Eretz Yisrael. That's how the Ramban reads this. I will conclude that the Ramban then says, but the real emes, the real truth in this whole incident, is that he hit it twice and not once, and he goes through a whole Kabbalistic approach as to the significance of that, which I'm not going to get into as well. There are other points that we brought out, and there are a bunch of them, we mentioned it along the way, Rashi addresses, there are midrashim that address a lot of those issues of it bringing forth its waters, that this was clearly things that had taken place before, and all those other phrases which we just didn't get to everything. But my main goal today at least was to show the three different approaches, how they stem out of the actual text, and the different way of reading the very terse section that we're given here, to produce these three different results as to what exactly the problem is, as it comes out of the words of the Chumash.
Yeah, but I've got a problem.
Yeah, only one problem after all this?
Left, okay. If he picked up the staff because it was told, and if Aaron was there because he was told to bring it, and Aaron did nothing except stand there, then when he said we, he was doing what he thought Hashem wanted him to do.
The way the Rabban would learn is that's the problem with Aaron. In other words, he's now standing there in front of all the people, and Moshe says, we're going to bring forth this water, and he doesn't say anything. As if that's right. He and you, we're going to do it.
Yeah, but I mean, Moshe doesn't think he's done anything wrong. He thinks he's followed along with what.
Well, unclear. According to the Ramban's approach, he was doing what he was supposed to do to hit the rock, but he says it in a way that doesn't create the same sanctification of Hashem's name as was supposed to.
I understand that, but the reasoning behind it is what I'm talking about. So, yeah. Very interesting.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.